to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
When life gives you lemons, squeeze them in people's eyes.
And Dale Hummel.
Starve your distractions, feed your focus.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Mr. Rainbows and Butterflies.
Would you just stop? Don't even sit.
If he's listening in the great state of Iowa, I suggest he fast forwards through current events. Would that be a good idea for him?
I don't know. This is going to be rough. And I would just like to state, as I said on my Facebook, I will say it here. The gayest thing about Pride Month 2025 is the Elon Trump breakup. And I'm not going to go into great detail on it. It is dumb. The only thing that I will say is, and I hope Dale admits this, I was never a huge fan of Elon. Elon got on Trump's train. That's when I started paying attention to him doing more. I don't care about all that. I want to give Trump a lot of credit for being extremely reserved in his comments about all this, because Elon went for the jugular and said some things, obviously, that aren't true, that he can't prove, that were awful and whatever. And Trump did not retaliate in the way that Trump normally does. For instance, there was a New York Times article about Elon and his drug use, and Trump was asked about it, and he said that he didn't want to comment on it because he thought it was very unfair to Elon. And so I am giving the man credit for taking the high road in this instance.
A little bit out of character, but I agree with you 100%.
See, Dale can see the truth every once in a while. Just takes it and slaps in the face.
I wish this feud was not happening. I don't think it's serving the conservative portion of the country very well. And I deep down, I've given up on a little bit. I was hoping that maybe this was a staged event.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I still am hopeful. And I justify it by the critics saying that Elon and Trump were way too close, so they had to do something to cause separation, but this is probably a little much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. You want to know what else is a lot?
Oh, God. Here we go.
I'll give you one guess.
China!
Do you know, I haven't had a tirade on China for...
That's because you've been in Africa avoiding getting eaten by a lion.
Do you remember every episode I would lead with China, China, China? I backed off that. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't know that it was resonating. The positive part right now, I'm hearing more each and every day, people recognizing that China is an issue. And not only they're an issue, if we just stop.
You were an issue.
I've said this so many times. China has come out and admitted they have a 50-year plan to be the economic/world power. And they're going to do anything and everything to implement that. And guess what? They are very disciplined to that plan, and they have investigated every angle to implement their plan to get to world dominance. And when I say every angle, literally, they're not just building military. They're very smart about it. I hate to give them credit, but they've accomplished a lot in the direction of their 50-year goal. I want to start off by what got me again and just brought it up, and it shouldn't just be these little things. It should be there all the time. The two Chinese nationals that I believe are postdoctorates at Michigan, at the University of Michigan, smuggling a fungus into the U.S., a pathogen that could do great harm to wheat, barley, corn, rice, basically causing immense economic loss for our agriculture community. It produces toxins, this particular fungus that would cause vomiting, liver damage, and reproductive issues in humans and livestock if implemented. Now, some say that we're dealing with those things already, but the intent to increase the issues and what we call agriterrorism, whatever you want to refer to it as, I guarantee you these two graduate students just didn't decide to come up with this on their own. This is orchestrated by the CCP, and there is no question this is just a fraction of what's going on. They're attacking from every direction in the world, period. I don't know how many more examples we need that China is basically at war with the US. They've taken every angle, every direction they can. Look at just examples, and I have too many of them. Purchasing the ground near military bases, coincidence? I think not. Ownership and control of companies that are directly related to our food supply? No, probably not a coincidence either. The spy balloons, we don't need to talk about that any further. It's there. It's been happening. COVID release in the world. If you haven't accepted that this was from the Chinese Communist Party, you've missed the boat on it. Pushing fentanyl into the U.S. via Mexico, absolutely devastating to this country. Flooding U.S. universities with graduate students that are now in a position that they have access to the most progressive technological advancements that we have across industries. Selling or stealing, I should say, all the intellectual property they can. The agroterrorism that we talked about is that we just touched the surface of. Bioterrorism, they're continuing to conduct research, which we tend to help fund on occasion, or at least used to. The threats to take over Taiwan, controlling many of the waterways, critical waterways for trade, inserting influence, and I noticed this when I was in Namibia and Botswana, even visiting with the locals, influencing or inserting their influence into the third world countries where they will oftentimes give a large payout to who's ever in political control at that time, and that politician sells out that country long term. And you see this time and time again with relation to rare minerals or anything they can get their hands on. That short-term payout benefits them so dramatically long term and keeps that country in poverty when they actually had a chance to capitalize on some of those things. And if we want to go to the largest one, flooding social media to push a drive or divide, I should say, in the U.S., not only between political parties, but just thoughts and opposition to anything and everything and taking both sides of it to stimulate that. And the big one that I'm disappointed in your boy Trump because he hasn't followed through with it, but the fact that they control TikTok algorithms and they can have that much influence over many of our youth, because that is their source for news, that is their source to form opinions, all of the above. And if you don't think that's a problem, you're wrong. My daughter uses TikTok more than ideal. I've pulled her back from it, and they're smart about it. They just don't flood out there that CCP party is great. They take an educated, planned out direction or path to manipulate the algorithms to benefit them, continue to cause divide in the U.S. The U.S. is bad. All of those things. So if you don't think we're at war with China, you're wrong. You better at least admit we're at Cold War with China. Ryan, that's a little bit of a rant.
Do you feel better now?
I do. Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
But are you aware of all these things?
Yes, Dale.
Are you in agreement that we're at war with China?
We've been at war with China forever.
Why don't we fight back?
What do you want to do, nuke them?
I'm not saying I take nothing off the table, but why don't we fire back? If I have no problem doing exactly okay. to them other what they're doing to us.
Other than military force.
Let's get rid of TikTok.
Let me finish? You talked for 45 minutes. Let me finish. Other than military force, what would you like for Trump to do?
I would like him to shut him down, and we will feel the pain. I think shut him down economically is the best way to strangle them. And if we don't,
what about the tariffs he imposed?
I think that's a great start. I hope we hold pretty tight. That is the best anybody's ever done, because every other damn president.
Okay, so then lay off my boy Trump.
Every other president, Democrat or Republican, has done. They've ignored this issue for decades, and they
not ignoring.
They should. No, he's not, and I appreciate it. He's acknowledged it, and there's a lot more people out there openly acknowledging this, and we should feel like idiots for letting this happen for this long and letting them get that far ahead on everything that they can. I can't breathe.
That's
Trump. Has he not disciplined? No, you're the TikTok hot cops fan, so you're not going to go against that. But
I'm not. Look. I like TikTok. I don't, but I agree with you, and I can't believe I'm saying this, that there is, and especially in the younger generations,
that they use TikTok as a source for news. I do not use TikTok for a source of news. I use TikTok for a source of entertainment because, like, just like every other social media, whatever, and algorithms, all this stuff, no news comes on my TikTok at all. Zero. Because I don't watch those videos. I don't whatever when you build your own algorithm. So, yes, the hot cuts of TikTok, funny people saying different things. People that have my Snapchat know what comes across my TikTok algorithm because I share 6 funny TikTok videos every single day on my Snapchat story. And so I don't use it for news. I think it is a problem that there are people out there that do use it as a news source. But a lot of people think that people use the mainstream media as a news source is a problem. So that's this just a true. Personal, you know, thing. And so, yeah, if they want to shut down TikTok, get with it. I think the problem is, and this is real, there is a large percentage of the American people that actually make their livelihood off TikTok. And so when you shut them down, you're putting them out of work.
No, I agree and sympathize completely towards that. I don't know the best route of attack. Maybe the different ownership.
If anybody can figure that out, then I mean, I agree there's problems with China and TikTok. But
they won't even, the version of TikTok their people in China and youth are exposed to is totally different than this one.
Yes, that is correct.
That should be fairly telling.
I'm not disagreeing.
I'm sure we have the ability, maybe not with Elon anymore. He's not in the inner circle. Why can we not duplicate TikTok? They steal every intellectual property we've ever had. Why do we not simply duplicate it? Let everybody come on and build up again. I know it'd be a pain in the ass, but get it into the hands of at least somebody from this country. And that doesn't mean it's going to be good, but to knowingly allow our adversary to have that kind of access to that many minds of youth in our country, that is insane.
Not saying you're wrong. What do you think about LA?
It's going to burn to the ground.
And you're against that?
Without a wildfire.
You're against that?
I think there's probably some good people in LA. When we go back to the
I haven't met many of them, I'm gonna be honest.
No, and I've been there. I like some of the taco trucks. I'm good with that. The LA riots back in 92, I think they refer to as Rodney King riots. I do not remember them well, but I do remember them. This is not to that scale, but this is going to get this. This is ongoing. I believe we're into it. We're recording on a Tuesday and we're into it several days now. And the fact that President Trump sent in the National Guard and Marines really upset your boyfriend, Mr. Newsom, and the mayor. I don't even know her name there in Los Angeles. But he used a method of, I guess, not asking their permission. And I don't disagree with him whatsoever by any means. He actually sent in 2,000 National Guard and 700 Marines. I've got in my scribbled notes that I can barely read.
Well, this is the only thing that I want to bring up about this, because this is kind of what's really big on the news, right? And they're making references to the 92 Rodney King stuff, whatever. First of all, I want to point, the only two things I want to point out is, number one, George Bush did send in troops to the LA riots, just like Trump did. Now, maybe he got permission or whatever, but he sent troops. So first off, them saying this is unprecedented and this is how Trump is becoming a dictator, A, that is false. Number two, the Rodney King thing, those riots were started because, you know, people thought he was falsely accused, all this other stuff, whatever.
And beat.
And there was a lot of things that happened in that, from what I understand, that could cause protest, etc. These people are breaking the law, plain and simple. They're illegal.
Agreed. And not only breaking the law, they're doing it while burning the American flag, right, waving the Mexican flag. I mean,
there is no question on this. Where there might be question on Rodney King's guilt or innocence, there is no question on this. They are here illegally. That is against the law. They need to go.
And not that's only that, it appears as though we're going after the worst of the worst. We're not just going after that the average person here that may have overstayed their visa or is not causing harm. They're going after known gang members and ones that have a previous record. I don't know how you can ever justify not trying to get those out of the country. You cannot, but they're trying. And the way they're, the manner they're protesting, how is it possible that they're still standing there as we speak and we haven't sent enough people in there not to just contain them? Why do we not throw them on the ground, put them in handcuffs, and haul their ass away? Every last one of them. Are you opposed to that?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm in favor.
I'm going to say something that's going to offend a lot of people on here, and it's fine. But I'm telling you, I like my country like I like my cooler at a summer stock show. Full of ice. Period.
I like that. Oh, my. There's a lot. You know what's going on with Rainbows and Butterfly? He's having issues right now hearing all this.
I'm sure. But
I'm going to go into something that's a little more sensitive, and I'm sure going to say something that's going to offend a portion of the audience. I continue.
Are you talking about your breed?
Not my breed by any
your
means.
Bullshit. That's the only breed of cattle you raise.
Okay.
That is your breed.
The American Angus Association. We discussed this briefly last week. I had just returned from the guided self-touring of Namibia and Botswana with Chase and one of our good friends. I knew very little about it. I did not have a lot of cell reception or internet while I was there. I have had a week to digest, research, take a lot of calls, and I'm beginning to form opinions on the American Angus Association's response, or I should say response or decision to take in excess of $4 million from the Bezos Earth Fund. Bezos is probably the largest promoter of lab-grown meat. He is also the lead person, if you want to point out a single individual, to bring down cattle production or livestock production as we know it. That is fact. That is not just my opinion. That is fact. There is no question he is not a fan of traditional animal agriculture, whether it's financially based or emotionally based or whatever it may be. He is against producing livestock as we know it, period. With that said, I'm going to come to the other side. I'm going to go back and forth just a little bit. The American Angus Association, I had some communication with Mark McCulley. I have not talked to any of the board members, but I've read their responses to the membership that's unhappy. Their thoughts appear to be that they want a seat at the table because this research on methane production is taking place. I'm sure the Bezos Earth Fund has funded a lot of it, but it has been taking place for years. I think it's all bullshit. And if you'd like my uneducated opinion is what some would call it, the amount of gas that's going to be produced from any animal, person, anything is going to be more correlated to the diet they're consuming than anything genetic. So have fun coming up with an EPD that's going to measure this, that in my opinion is going to be insignificant compared to what we're feeding them in terms of what's being produced. And I personally do not believe that this is contributing to any issues with the ozone, global warming, whatever you want to throw at it, which Bezos will, whatsoever, period. The problem is, by accepting money from him, he can now come out and state that the largest breed association on the planet, cattle breed association on the planet, is working with him to conduct research to try to reduce or identify what genetic lines are causing these issues. It is...
And I'm not trying to interrupt you.
No, please, please.
But that, what you said right there, is a little too lax. Because basically what I can say is the largest cattle breed association in the world is working with him to end cattle production.
Yeah. That's the direction
the way I take it.
And the American Angus Association says their purpose for taking it, they want a seat at the table because this is going to take place anyway. I don't know if I don't disagree to be involved is a good thing. But
okay, it may take place anyway, but you don't have to participate.
No,
other than rail against it.
No, I am with you. But that their thoughts are they at least are at the table. And I take whatever opinion that you want on that one. I do not. I think there's more harm done by legitimizing his purpose to bring down the cattle industry because of such. So it has got me pretty wound up, and I consider Mark McCulley a good friend. I like Mark. I don't know a lot of the board members, but I can assure you the number of calls that I'm receiving and text about this issue, the membership, not just the membership, cattle producers, they do not like what it looks like on the surface, and they may not be researching very deep, and that's their prerogative. They can do what they want, but on the surface, it does not look good. So to me, maybe more communication from the American Angus. I know they put out a response. There's got to be a way for this the members and the cattle producers in general to come together here a little bit and go a direction. Many are calling for the return of the money. I don't know if that's even possible at this point. I assume it can be done. And it is hard for me. The Angus Association's by no means in financial issues. They don't necessarily need the money. And with that being said, it's just a hard one. I mean, they must feel very strongly they want to be a part of the discussion. And I'm never opposed to that. But there's some things that come with it that bother me just a bit. I was fortunate. I had Mr. Tom Burke stop by the other night, Ryan, to discuss a possible trip to Palermo, Argentina, to their big cattle show again this year. And we've gone down there a couple times, and it's very enjoyable. And that's what he had stopped by to talk about possibly going this year. And the conversation quickly went to the issue with Bezos and the Bezos Earth Fund and the Angus Association. And Tom spends every day of his life visiting with Angus producers. And that's all he does. I mean, that is his life. He was born to be an Angus enthusiast. He will die being an Angus enthusiast. And he cares more deeply about that breed than anybody I know. And I will argue that with anybody. And obviously he's talking to producers, and I'm probably echoing some of the things that he and I talked about in terms of just there's a divide.
Well, he put on his Facebook what he thinks should happen.
Yeah. And he's, I believe, returned the money. And I don't know if it's as much his opinion, but just visiting with the number of Angus producers that he is in contact with each and every day. I don't know that he and I had discussed it in great detail in terms of individuals, but there were very few that were in favor of taking that money. And I don't know that all of them have researched it deeply. I don't know that they put a lot of thought into it, but I promise you on the surface, this is a bad image, and this may come back to bite cattle producers, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that those in the Angus Association and board members, I hope this all works out for the best. We never want to put harm on the cattle industry in any manner, but we this isn't over. There needs to be more thought put into this, and maybe some type of resolution that keeps everybody happy.
I think it's a mess, and I think it's an unfortunate mess. And again, they have their reasons. I'm not saying they don't have valid reasons. I think that in the long run, the publicity that this will garner and the animosity that this issue has brought up will be a negative not only for the Angus breed, but for the cattle industry as a whole. And that is what I think is the most sad about all of it.
Agreed. Agreed. And we know that there's, I mean, this research is not, the methane research is going on. It is. And it's not like this is all of a sudden we're going to start this. This is something that was going to continue with or without accepting the money. All of those things are, I don't know that it's going to change the outcome of the research that's conducted, but it does change the image for the association, unfortunately. So that's a tough one for me.
very, very much a difficult one. And I don't know. I just don't know how it all comes back together. But I'm hopeful that it can, because it affects more than just the Angus producers, but the cattle producers in general. And I think we're going to continue to have a battle with people like Bezos that, again, I don't know if it's in principle or simple financial that he has largely invested in lab meat. But that is going to be a push that he's not going to let go of. And guess what, Ryan? You and I are hypocrites.
I am not a hypocrite.
Oh, you are? Since the time this came out, if you got on Amazon and ordered something, guess who you're supporting?
Bezos.
Yeah. I thought he owned more of the company than he did, but Chase did a little research for me this morning and said he had to give 4% of Amazon away to his ex-wife in a divorce, and he currently is the largest single shareholder at like 7%. This is information coming from Chase. I hope it's accurate. So I want to put that disclosure in there. I thought he had actually owned more of that, and I use Amazon. I never put a lot of thought into it. I use it out of convenience. But maybe
you also use an iPhone and you hate China. Yes. So moving on.
There are things that maybe we need to dig a little deeper into and adjust our habits so we're not hypocritical.
Well, we are now 26 minutes into this, so I will save my rant for the...
And I have something that can go in anywhere, but I have
one. I have a rant about the people, the person... which I'm sure there will be more persons, but decided to contact me on my views on Pride Month, but I will save that for next week since we're a little.
I'm unaware of those, but I'd like to hear about it at some point
next week.
A lady reached out to us, Ryan. I don't know if you saw that email. I think Clifton forwarded it to us. That's the only way we tend to get Beyond the Ring email. An insurance livestock agent in New Mexico, in Arizona. She clarified admitted we didn't know the cost of it, but she says she offers insurance to 4-H and FFA exhibitors at 11 cents per $100. So if you had a $2,500 animal, it's going to cost you about $275. So it's not a huge amount, but it is there. And I'm assuming that's a market animal that takes it through its show career is my guess. So thank you for that individual reaching out and the kind words that they've had. Once again, a big thank you to ShowFresh H2O. This is the only product out there that completely eliminates chlorine from the drinking water, keeping your animals hydrated and ready to hit the show ring. If you want to feel better about your purchase, this product is made right here in America by good people. You can pre-order ShowFresh H2O now at your local farm store, your favorite show supply trailer, and head over to Swamp Fox. You can head over to swampfox.com and order online. Today's episode, Ryan, I predict will be the most popular episode in history. And this is
you 100. Say that means nobody will listen.
100%. You did all, it's your idea. You did all the legwork while I was touring around Africa. I'm excited to get this information out there. So the title, Perspective from National Show Judges. Perspective from National Show Judges, part one. I predict there'll be three parts. Ryan says there'll only be two. We'll see how long today's episode goes.
So the reason for this is kind of twofold. First and foremost, a lot of people ask me why I don't like having guests on the podcast. And I want to say that I am not against having guests. I tend to not want to do it on this podcast for two reasons. Number one, the large majority of other podcast solely revolve around having guests. Ours doesn't. And so because that makes us unique, I like to stay with that. And number two, it is extremely difficult to work around mine and Dale's and Clifton's schedule, much less you add another person into it. And again, we're the only podcast, and we've been going on 5 years, that does this every week. And sometimes it is an absolute miracle that it happens, but you add another person or two other people into it, the equation on guests gets very hard. But I do not want people to think that I think that mine and Dale are the only opinions that matter. That is not what I think at all.
When it comes to China, I'd prefer to have the only opinion.
Right. But this was a way to get other people's opinions onto the podcast without having to schedule guests. And so I came up with this. And I also think that for people that are going to shows, families that are exhibiting, and also I think for show management, regardless whether you're a county fair or all the way up to a state fair and national show, there's some useful information in the questions that we sent. And I sent a list of 25 questions. 20 of them were sent to all four species. And then we did 5 species-specific questions to the different species, and those will be next week. And I sent them to 40 judges, 10 goat, 10 lamb, 10 hog, 10 cattle. And all of those 40 people have judged a national show or a Texas major or, you know, a big show within the last 5 years. So these are the people that are actually getting asked to do this right now at the most important shows in the country. And so I think this is a way to share their perspectives without having to bring people on, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I think the most important take from that is these are currently, right now, as we speak, relevant, what we call national show judges. And just like Ryan had mentioned there, and part of the reason for doing this, we get asked a lot of questions, whether it's on the podcast or just every day when we're at a stock show. What do you think about doing this? Or what should they wear for showman? All kinds of questions. And Ryan kind of gathered these up and I think did a phenomenal job of summarizing and breaking it down to questions that were easy to answer, so we're not overwhelming those people that are taking the survey. But people listen to the question, listen to the results that Ryan got back. Because if you want to succeed, you need to cater to a certain degree to what those judges in the show ring want. Don't assume it's the same as 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Don't assume it's going to be the same from judge to judge. But when you've got questions compiled that were sent out to many of the lead national judges right now, and they responded accordingly, that information is valuable. So please. Please take note.
And, you know, one of the things that I got, some of the feedback from some of these judges, some of them thought that these questions were pretty, general basic. Or basic and stuff like that. And I got that and I understood that. But a lot of these questions are things that we get asked all the time. And so why it may be general or basic to them, this is kind of information that people want to know. And that's why I wanted to poll them and get their responses. And so I appreciate all of them for taking the time to fill out the survey. I did tell them that they would remain anonymous, so we're not going to use their names or anything like that. But I just do want to assure everybody that all of these people have judged a really big show within the last 5 years. So.
And many said, have at it. Use my name. I don't care. We are going to stay consistent and just leave it out. But
right. Some of them wanted their names used. Others didn't say. But I just think, I thought for them to answer honestly, just 100% honestly, that the best thing would be they knew going in that their name would not be attached to the answers. And so that's why I did it that way. And the very first question of the 20 all species questions that we're going to discuss today, you will know from the very beginning that I obviously did not influence the results or take part in the survey because they all answered wrong.
This is a question to prove that you did not bias.
Right. The question was, what is your preferred start time of the show? And the answers they could give was early to mid-morning, noon, afternoon, or evening. No one answered noon, which is the only rule that I believe should happen in all livestock shows. So clearly I had no influence, nor did I take the survey. But 39 of the 40 judges said early to mid-morning. One judge said afternoon. I appreciate that one judge, and they know that, but I'm not going to use their name. And so in all of these questions, we're also going to break it down by species. And so in goats, 9 of the judges wanted early to mid-morning, and then the one judge that wanted an afternoon start time was a goat judge. Of course, cattle, hog, and sheep, all 10 of those species said early to mid-morning. So, again, I think they're wrong, but if you're running a show and you want to know what time you should start, there you go.
At least what the judges prefer.
Right, what time the judges prefer. So,
and I'm aware of some shows that'll start in the evening because it's hot at the county fair, or early in the morning. I certainly understand avoiding the heat of the day, which usually is inevitable. You're going to hit it no matter how you structure it. But I get it. But from the judges' perspective, they would rather start. I don't know. You kind of left it. If you'd have taken early morning to mid morning, I bet mid morning would have came in more than early morning.
Mm-hmm. But the second question, and this was, I'll be honest, some of the questions were more for my curiosity than what they should have been. Not many, but this was one of them, is what type of mic do you prefer? Because I'm very picky and I get agitated, and I want everybody to know that I'm obviously not the only one, because 39 of the 40 judges said they wanted a cordless mic. One had no preference, but 39 of them said they wanted a cordless mic. And I can't tell you how important I think that is.
May I add on to that just briefly?
Yes, because
a cordless mic that doesn't have the squealing dead spot, one that works well.
Well, that, but I think it is vitally, vitally important. And several people, almost all of the judges wrote some notes with their answers and all this stuff. But most of them on this question said, I like to walk, I like to pace, whatever, I like to move to see the next animal, all this other stuff. I think cordless mics are very, very important. And I think they should be at all shows, especially the Illinois State Fair. But in the survey, goats, all 10 wanted a cordless mic. Cattle, all 10 wanted a cordless mic. Hogs, all 10 wanted a cordless mic. Sheep, 9 said they preferred a cordless mic, and then 1 said they had no preference. So there you go with
overwhelming.
That.
I want to add to it just real quickly. So what I understand that some people think, well, this is trivial, they'll be fine with a wired mic or whatever. But I can assure you, when I show up at a show,
it's not trivial at all.
No, when I show up, my mental state begins when I walk into that arena and who I'm greeting there, as far as show officials, the help they're going to have. I'm assessing eventually when I walk up there to start the show, how this day is going to go for me, and how easy it's going to be to work through the livestock and ultimately serve those that are showing and those that are there to watch and partake. And when you have issues with the microphone, that's probably your lead thing that's going to put everything into kind of a sour mode. If you don't think the audience can hear you or the exhibitors, or it just isn't working, all of a sudden you go into the mindset, well, why am I trying to describe these animals if nobody can hear them? And there's more shows than not that this happens to. And it's all about that mindset of the judge. If everything's going in a positive direction, everybody has a better experience. So show officials, do your best. I know it's inevitable problems are going to pop up, but that single factor right there sometimes sets the tone just a little more than you realize.
Yeah. Again, to reiterate what Dale said, I don't think there's anything more frustrating as a show judge as having a mic where you know no one can hear or understand you, because once again, that's your defense of why you're doing what you do. And if they can't hear or understand you, you literally, just like Dale alluded, why am I even doing this? Because you can't defend yourself, you can't explain, you can't do anything because nobody can hear. So it is not trivial, and it is very, very important. Number 3, do you prefer to pick a top 5 or just a grand or reserve overall? I thought this was interesting. Because, you know, like I said, there was a lot of feedback within the answers. A lot of them gave an answer, but then they would say stuff like, well, it depends on the quality, or, you know, stuff like this. But 30 of the 40 judges prefer to pick a top 5. And 8 said they only wanted to pick a grand and reserve, and 2 had no preference. So within the species, goats, 8 like to pick top 5, 2 only want a grain of reserve. Cattle, 6 picked, 6 preferred to pick a top 5, 2 preferred a grain of reserve, and 2 had no preference. Hogs, 7 like picking a top 5, 3 grain of reserve. Sheep, 9 top 5, and 1 a grain of reserve. I think overwhelming from reading the comments that probably their only reservation in picking a top 5 was if the show is not huge or overloaded with quality, having to pick a top 5 sometimes gets difficult. I see that. My personal perspective on this is I don't care. I want to pick top 5 because that way more kids get recognized, period. And so I'm always a proponent of picking a top 5.
And I think that's fairly simple, that part of it. And I understand there's tradition. There's a lot of things that, well, we always used to just do grand reserve. But if we can recognize more kids and it doesn't cost a lot more and it doesn't take that much more time, that seems logical.
Yeah. So there's that. This was a very interesting, the next two kind of go hand in hand. And this was very interesting for me on the results. The fourth question on the survey was, do you prefer to have showmanship judged before or after the actual show? And the overall results aren't as interesting as the species results, because overall, it's basically split down the middle. 22 said after the show, 18 said before the show. But I think when you go into the species results, it gets interesting. Goats were split right down the middle, 5 before and 5 after. And the same with sheep, 5 before, 5 after. So in those two species, it kind of says to me that it doesn't matter where the showmanship is before or after the show. It's not that big a deal. You get into cattle, 8 of the 10 judges wanted it before the show, and 2 wanted it after. So obviously, in terms of you're having a cattle show, these judges, by and large, think that showmanship should come before. Hogs, all 10 judges said after the show. So there you go.
That's pretty solid.
I think, and again, getting to read a lot of the things, I think a lot of it is we all know that hogs figure out where to go, how to get out, all this other stuff after the first time they come in the ring. And so that's why they probably want hog showmanship to go afterwards, because you've proven yourself all day. You can prove yourself in showmanship too. And so, but I thought those results were very interesting, how the two species were split down the middle, but cattle and hogs were overwhelmingly in one way or the other.
From a personal standpoint, Ryan, and again, this is just personal preference, and I bet you agree with me on this. I enjoy it afterwards from the standpoint that I've got to watch the kids all day long, not their fake presentation in a single showmanship class.
Well, and we've talked about this on here. I am a proponent. If I'm going to do showmanship, and I do showmanship at most of the shows I judge, I would say overwhelming proportion of them, I like for it to be after, because of just what Dale says. I've watched them go in class. I know what they do. And, you know, I am still a believer that the reason and the, you know, motivation to become a great showman should be so you have an advantage when you're in those classes and the banners and the buckles and the sale checks and the sale holes are on the line. And so I always think it is important to see how you actually show when you're in a class versus showmanship, because a lot of people do change their style. I don't understand why. We've addressed it here, but that is just how it is. So I think there's some showmanship being after.
I think there's some showmanship judges that have just disqualifying things that they, if they don't turn from one side to the other, or they don't do this or that, they're out, where the judge accepts it in a regular show. I don't get it. I'm with you 100%. The goal is whatever technique you're using is to make that animal you have in the ring look the best possible, period. And that's it. That's all there is.
Yeah. Exactly. So the question that went with this, and I found these results very interesting, but not surprising. But I think it will be very surprising to our listeners, especially people that manage shows. Do you prefer to have another judge do the actual showmanship judging? 36 of the 40 said they wanted someone else to judge showmanship. Only 4 judges said that they like doing showmanship and the actual show. And even more interesting, goat, cattle, and hog, all 10 of those judges said they wanted someone else to judge showmanship. The sheep judges are overachievers. 6 of them said they wanted someone else to judge, but the 4 judges that said they like to do both were all sheep judges. So I do a lot of shows, and as I said, the overwhelming majority, I judge both showmanship and the show, but I'm never asked normally, will you do both? It's just the part
You're
of
gonna
it.
You're going to do
both. Right. And so I find it, I think it will be very interesting and enlightening for people that run shows to hear that 36 national show judges think someone else should judge showmanship. And I think there's valid reasons for that. I think number one, no matter whether it's before or after, not that it happens, but perception is if you do well in whatever comes first, it's harder on you to do well in what comes after. I don't think that's true. I can use the show I judged in Colorado this past weekend. The 2 kids that were grand and reserve, one of them was champion junior showman, one was champion senior showman. So, no, when I judge, it doesn't matter. But that is the perception of livestock families. Well, if my kid wins showmanship, it's going to be harder for him to win the show. Or if my little darling just won the show, they're not going to let her win showmanship. And that's there. I mean, it just is what it is.
I want to tune in just a little bit on this. And I get it. A lot of shows, whether it's a county show, a jackpot, or whatever it is, it's going to cost more money to bring 2 judges in. I get it from an economic standpoint. I get it. It's great if that judge is watching these people show all day long and then they do showmanship afterwards. You're probably going to land on the person that truly does the best job. I understand all of that. But if you're at a national show or even a state fair and you have the funding where you can bring a second one in, I, as an exhibitor or a show dad, whatever you want to refer to it as, I would much prefer to send my kids out there to a showmanship judge, especially if it's before the show, to a different judge and who is going to be sorting the show. We have gotten so competitive that we need those animals absolutely 100% at the time they hit the ring for the show itself. And if you've got to fit them and get them ready for a showmanship 5 hours before that, it's putting stress on it makes it more difficult. So in other words, if you have the same judge judging showmanship that's judging the show later, Ryan, that judge is going to form an opinion as soon as you hit the ring. Even though it's not the market show, they have formed an opinion on that animal. And you better have it looking damn good at that time.
Without a doubt.
Good luck making them look 100% at both entries into the ring each time.
And you said something about having funds. The one thing I'm going to throw out is, if you're looking to get somebody else to do showmanship, I know in most states that there is either a junior college or a senior college within a couple hours drive. And if you call up one of those kids that's currently on those teams and say, hey, we'd like to get a separate judge to do showmanship, it'll get you some ring time. You know, it's not going to pay anything other than mileage, maybe $100 or whatever. Very few kids are going to turn down the opportunity to get in the ring. And
they're going to be all over it. And more and likely, so, kids that have done well showing themselves are there.
Right.
They're available.
And so that's just an option that I want to put out there, because I don't think people think about that. But those kids that are on judging teams, I don't think you'll get turned down, even if it's barely going to pay them getting there, because they'll take the time to get an opportunity to be in the ring. So there you go. So thought that was interesting. Number 6, I'm very proud of the answers to number six because I thought I was alone in the world against this. Question to number six, do you prefer to take a lunch break or not? 38 people said no lunch break. And I swear to God, if you would see me at shows when I say I don't want a lunch break, you would think that I have literally offended the world. And 38 of the 40 national children agree with me, lunch breaks should not happen. And a lot of it is just what I have relayed here on this podcast, getting feedback from them. Breaks up the flow, no reason to stop. You know, all I can grab a hamburger while I'm doing a class. Yada, I mean, all these things. And so 38 don't want a lunch break in the goat, cattle, and hog world. All 10 of them did not want a lunch break. Sheep judges, 8 did not want a lunch break, and 2 said they wanted a lunch break. One of them, because I know them very well, put a small one, Ryan. And I think that's because he knows that I am vehemently against lunch breaks. But anyhow, but I thought that was interesting because literally a lot of shows will say, hey, do you want a break for lunch? And when I say no, it's like I told them their best friend died. And so I found it very interesting, and I found it very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but I feel better about the fact that I am vehemently against lunch breaks because most people agree with me on this.
Agreed. And if I'm a little surprised about your response, the numbers, I'm happy with it because you and I are very strong that we want to just skip it. It just doesn't work for us when we're judging. But I'm a little surprised that it is that way for that many judges. And your comment that usually when they ask you and you say no, it's a little shocking.
It literally looks like I ran over their puppy.
Yeah, no, I get it. So I hope people listen to this. And I just think it's in the best interest to if the judge is okay with it. Again, if the judge wants to take a lunch break and that's going to benefit them to get through the afternoon, absolutely in favor of that. But if the judge is going to have a better day by not having that,
then you please honor it and do what they want to do.
Just honor it. It's all about trying to make the best experience for everybody, and it starts right there.
Number seven, I was surprised by the results of this. I'm very pleased, but surprised. Do you prefer smaller or larger classes? 36 of the 40 judges want larger classes. Only 4 said smaller classes. In goats, all 10 wanted larger. Cattle, 8 wanted larger. 2 wanted smaller. Hogs, all 10 wanted larger. Sheep, 8 wanted larger. 2 wanted smaller. I am a proponent for larger classes, even at jackpot shows, because of 2 major reasons. Number one, if you have attended enough shows and watched, when there is a single entry animal in a ring, all the judge says is good things about it. There is no comparison to any other animals, all this other stuff. And that animal may be the grand champion of the show, or it may be the worst animal in the show. But because it's out there by itself, no one is going to give you an accurate read or description on that animal because they're not going to criticize an animal because it's the only one in there. And so when you're in there with other animals, I think that you get a better read on the quality of your animal, and also on the description of your animal by that judge. Number two, larger classes simply make the show be more efficient. And at the end of the day, I don't think there is one show family that likes leaving a show at 9, 10, 11, or 12 o'clock at night, period.
Agreed completely. And I think that if you're in a class of 2 or 3, and I think if an exhibitor does well in a larger class, they feel better about themselves.
No, there's no doubt. But, I mean, you can say the same thing. The kid that gets 6th or 7th or 8th probably feels worse about themselves. So I get that part. But I do believe that you go to shows in some part to see where your animal stacks up and to get a judge's opinion on that animal by their reasons. Those things are more true and more accurate in larger classes because there's more to evaluate.
Exactly. And point well taken. Think about in the breeding shows, whatever species, a lot of times you'll come into these single entry classes. How many of those single entry exhibitors are getting a true evaluation from that judge with them being the only one in the class?
Right. They're not. I mean, like, I am someone that even when there's a single entry, I'll say what is good about it, but then I'll say, but you know, we could change this or we could modify this or whatever. And it was just like less than a month ago. Ring Stewart, because there were several single entry classes out today, Ring Stewart said, and they just wanted to know, they're like, why do you criticize the single entries? And I said, because I think those people need to know that their animal's not perfect and they may not get discussed again. But I don't want them leaving here thinking I said all these great things about their animal and then they come back in the breed drive and they're not Grand Reserve. And I've talked these other four class winners and said something bad about all of them. I said, that's why I do it.
That's simple, but I'm going to say that, and I'm not trying to pick on judges and even myself. I don't know that everybody does that.
No, I'm one of the few, but I'm just saying.
A lot of times we talk some positive and say this one could certainly withstand some more competition, and then we move on. Not right. Saying it's right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I think that a lot of times they're not getting as accurate a description of their animal as if they could if there was competition within the class.
Exactly.
So, number 8. How many people do you like to have in the ring to assist you with either riding the placings, keeping the animals moving, keep them in line, or getting them from the line to where they're placed? And so, 1, 2, 3 more, etc.
It is time for the show officials to listen.
Yes, it please is. And there was a lot of comments on here that I will from the judges that I will bring up too. 22 of the 40 said 3 or more. 18 said 2 or more. Nobody said 1. Just letting you know. So you shows that are out there that just got that 1.
Did anybody say that I don't need any? I'll take care of it myself while I'm sorting.
Nobody said that either.
Nobody said that. Have you ever done that?
I have. More shows than
how is that for your mindset?
It's not good.
Remember we talked about the microphone?
You get through it.
Yeah, this is number 2 for me. If the microphone's good and you have good ring help, how positive is that day going to be? It's a good start.
Much more.
If it's a bad microphone and you're on your own in the ring, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. So within the species, goats all wanted 2 or more. Cattle all 10 of them wanted 3 or more. Hogs, 7 of them wanted 3 or more. And 3 wanted 2 or more sheep. Were split down the middle. 5 wanted 3 or more or 2, and another 5 wanted 2 or more. I thought the comments on this were telling. Most people were like, as many as you can get in there, but a couple of them were like, you know, I can get by with 2 really competent ones, but I'd still like to have more. And then that person went on like, they thought more than the number, it was the competency and their willingness to wanting to be out there was as important as the number of people. And all of those things I think are valid. I have been to very, very, very few shows where I have either as a judge or a spectator, where I said, you know, there's too many damn people in this ring. So I just want to put that out there. And number 2, to that one judge talking about able-bodied, competent people. A lot of times, and we've discussed this in some on here, a lot of times people that are serving as ring stewards, either they don't want to be there or they're more judging the class than paying attention to what they're doing. So I thought that able-bodied, competent, wanting to be in that position comment was pretty spot on.
Exactly. And I know management, show officials think, well, I can't find anybody to do that. But I've gone to shows where that morning, when we get started in the first class, maybe a ring person didn't show up and they say, hey, any parents, anybody out there that's willing to put some effort out and to coming out and helping, please. And there's always people willing to do it. They just need to be asked.
Number nine, do you like music playing in the background during the classes or not? 35 of the judges prefer music and 5 do not want music.
I like those results.
And there is a comment from one of the judges that I'm going to talk about here in a second. Goats, all 10 wanted music. Cattle, all 10 wanted music. Hogs, 8 wanted music, 2 did not. I am not going to share with the world who one of them is, but I'm very disappointed in one of these judges. Dale would be too if they knew who it was. And
you did not tell me.
Because you didn't read the results, because you would try to make them skewed. Sheep, 7 wanted music and 2 did not. The one comment about the music thing that I thought was very valid, and after I read this comment, this has happened more times than I probably think should have. They said, I love music, just whoever's playing the music needs to be mindful that it's a kid event, because sometimes songs get played that, while I like them, probably not the best for that type of environment. And I after thinking about that, I can, there's a lot of times when a song has come along, oh, maybe this wasn't the best thing to play here. But so yeah, I thought that was a very valid comment.
I am with you. And I think when you're at shows and there's nothing playing in the background, you've got little crowd involvement, all of a sudden, it's just that silence. I think it really kills the mood. I think when there's a little music playing, people in the audience are more willing to visit with each other, whatever it may be. It just sets a better mental tone.
So now we're at 10. So we're almost to the halfway mark. I told you this is going to be the longest episode in the world. Please list the rate you would typically charge to judge a one-day show. Just the judge's fee, not travel or expenses.
In other words, your traveling expenses will be in addition to.
Right, yeah. This is just what you charge as a judge's fee. I thought it was interesting. The average was $500, and it was $500 in every single species. The average was the same. I will tell you that the range went from $250 to $1,500.
Interesting. I am leaving this week for a show, and I have no idea where other judges are, and I tend to usually let the show dictate where I say, well, what can you afford, or where were you last year? But this one, I think, asked me, and I told him $500 a day plus expenses. So I'm right. I'm just average, aren't I? Average.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, and a lot of judges said something. I hate this question, but
oh,
this
it's terrible.
This is what I finally... And they didn't say they hated me asking it, but they hate when shows ask it. And I get that. And finally, I mean, again, after judging as much as I have, I've just, and we had an episode a couple of weeks ago about the expense of a judge. And Dale and I talked about that. While we both say $500 a day, that $500 gets eat up in expenses that you don't ever charge shows. So I think $500 is quite reasonable for a one person's time throughout the day. But question.
And I, real quick, just for an example, and I'm going to use this show that I'm going to, I leave on a Thursday, I return on a Sunday, and it's a two-day show. So I've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days away from home, 2 days of which I'm getting paid for. And I'm thrilled to be doing this show. And it seems like great people that are running it. But that all of a sudden, that $500 a day gets divided up over 4 days. I'm getting $250 a day and then my expenses basically to be away from home. So it may sound like a lot, but more times than not, that's being spread out over travel days as well.
So now we're going to get into some questions about that I get asked a lot from exhibitors about stuff to wear. And so question 11 is, do you prefer exhibitors to wear a long sleeve shirt or short sleeve shirt, or does it make a difference? Very, very interesting that 35 have no preference.
I cannot believe that.
And 5 said long sleeve. So
you could have skewed the results on this one to favor what you and I prefer.
But I'm just telling you this. This is the goats. 10 said no preference. Cattle, 8 said no preference. 2 said long slave. Hogs, 10 no preference. Sheep, 7 no preference. 3 long slave. And so the overwhelming comment from the judges about this, they did not care. A couple of them said collared shirts. A lot of them said no t-shirts. The biggest comment was, is that it looked clean and neat. And so, but I am very, very surprised that more people did not have a preference on this. I will tell you again, if we're at a show and we go to the ring and the judge is in a long sleeve shirt and boots, I'm going to make sure that my kids get on a long sleeve shirt and boots. So
that seems simple. I appreciate the neat and clean, and you'd expect that. I thought maybe more long sleeves, but that proves, Ryan, you and I live in this little bubble.
And that's why I said that. That's why I thought it was interesting to get, you know, this take on this from different people that are doing this or whatever. But overwhelming, they didn't have a preference on sleeve length. A lot of them did say they wanted it to be a collared shirt, not a t-shirt. And overwhelming was neat and clean. So this one is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. But I had to put it in there. Do you like for exhibitors to wear blazers or sports coats when showing in the ring? Yes or no? 38 of the judges said no. They don't like it. And 2 said no preference. So nobody said they liked it. 38 said they do not like it. In goats, all 10 said no. Cattle, 10 said they don't like it. Hogs, 9 said they don't like it. 1 said no preference. Sheep, 9 said they don't like it. And 1 said no preference. And I see more kids showing in blazers or sports coats now than I ever have before. And that's why I put this question in there. And so I'm sure that I have hurt a lot of people's feelings with those results, but I thought you should know.
So I'm not opposed to it. It's a neat, clean look. So I'm okay with it. Does it benefit that person over somebody else that's in without one that's neat and clean? No, not opposed to it, but doesn't impact me positive or negative.
And nobody is saying that it's going to affect the placing, but simply put, I think people should know when asked, do you like exhibitors wearing blazers? And overwhelmingly 38, I mean,
you're seeing it across species.
Yes. And I think for the most part, and I mean, I didn't get these comments or whatever, but, and y'all know that I love rhinestones and bling and all this other stuff, but the solid blinged out blazers that a lot of these girls are wearing in the show ring, I think that's getting some negative attention. And so, but I see a lot
you
of
you are okay with.
I don't like it. And like I said, it's not going to affect anybody's placing.
You say blinged out. What do you mean?
I mean, there's solid sequin blazers.
Got it.
This, you don't go to enough shows if you haven't seen this.
Well, I want to interpret your vocabulary on the bling.
I mean, solid sequin blazers, and a lot of girls wear them. I'm not against it. I just don't think it's a great look. But I thought this was a question because I do see it more now than ever. I see boys in them. I thought it would be an interesting thing to ask. There you go, 38-2. And the 2 said they had no preference, but 38 did not like it. So that is what it is.
Fair enough. Now that you've offended 25 or better percent of our listeners.
Oh, I'm going to offend a lot more coming up with the next one. Next question. And I think these results are interesting because these results do not dictate what I see in the ring. 13 has two parts. 13A was what is your preferred choice for exhibitors in terms of footwear, boots, leather shoes, or tennis shoes. And 6 of them had no preference. 22 said leather shoes. 11 said boots. 1 said tennis shoes. So goats, all 10 of the judges said their preferred choice of footwear were leather shoes. Cattle, 5 boots, 5 leather shoes. Hogs, 6 boots, 4 had no preference. Sheep, 7 leather shoes, 1 tennis shoes, I will talk to the person that said listed on there that they prefer tennis shoes, and he knows who he is, and I know he's listening, and I'm very angry with him. And two said no preference. So that's when they were asked if they could pick what you could show him. Okay, that's what the B part of this question. Are tennis shoes acceptable for exhibitors to show in, yes or no? It was split right down the middle. 21 said tennis shoes are not acceptable. 19 said tennis shoes are acceptable. Now, before I break it down in species, I want to say this. For them to be basically 50-50 on this, that is not what I see in the arena, because I see way more kids in tennis shoes than I do boots or leather shoes. So, just something to think about. Goats, 6 said that tennis shoes were acceptable. 4 said they were not. Cattle, all 10 said that tennis shoes are not acceptable. Hogs, 7 said they were acceptable. 3 said they were not. Sheep, 6 said they were acceptable. 4 did not think they were acceptable. Yeah. Dale.
Interesting, interesting. Cattle, we always talk about. If you get stepped on, it's going to hurt more. Well, I've been stepped on with boots on and it still hurts.
I don't care about that. I just think it doesn't. I despise
tennis shoes. It's just not a good look.
I just despise tennis shoes. But the fact that that question, more than any of them, that B part, was probably more evenly split down the middle than any of the other ones. But Dale, when you go to a goat, a lamb, or a hog show, do you not see more kids in tennis shoes than you don't?
Increasingly more.
Okay. No, I'm saying at that show, I see more kids wear tennis shoes than I don't see.
Yeah.
And so for this to be a 50-50 split, there are more people that are doing something that 21 of the 40 judges doesn't think is acceptable.
So with that said, why put yourself in that position?
I don't know.
And again, I'm not going to beat a kid because he's in tennis shoes or anything like that.
And that comment was made. Nobody's going to beat somebody. But this is the whole point of this is asking their opinions. What do they prefer? You should want to know what judges prefer.
And when you
because
have
every little thing can help.
Yes. When you have the information on what most judges are going to want to do, do it. You're trying to win.
Right.
That is the goal. Yeah.
And, you know, the one sheep person that I'm going to beat upside the head the next time I see him said that he likes tennis shoes because of traction. It's all like, oh, but
I think that may be promoted out there somewhere.
Okay, next. But last time I checked, leather shoes had traction. So, but, you know, but I thought that was very, I thought those results were interesting. But you thought the last two questions were going to offend somebody. We're really fixing to get offended.
Well, in the North, this isn't an issue. Your next question. It is. Oh, rare. Well, I'm okay. You may get lynched. I'm fine.
14. Do you like exhibitors showing in cowboy hats? Yes or no? Okay. 27 do not like cowboy hats. 3 like cowboy hats. 10 had no preference. Goats, all 10 of them said no. Hogs, all 10 of them said no. Sheep, 7 said no. 1 said they like it. 2 had no preference. Now, I realize that in goat, sheep, and hogs, it's very rare that kids show in cowboy hats. But I want to say I have seen in every species more kids show in cowboy hats than ever before now. In cattle, I thought this was interesting because I thought that every cattle judge would be like, you know what? Oh, yeah, I like cowboy hats. 7 said they had no preference. 2 said they liked it. 1 said they didn't. So overall, I don't think cowboy hats are probably overwhelmingly popular.
You know what would be popular?
What?
I would like to see it. I would like to watch you judge a show in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, I'm not ever going to. So move on. I think one of the comments on here was very, very valid. And they talked about how a cowboy hat was shaped, stuff like that, if it looked good on the exhibitor. And I, you know, this question has come up on question and answer several times. And my response has always been, not everybody looks good in a cowboy hat. Some people do, some people don't. And if you can't look in a mirror or look at your child and say, you know what, you don't look great in this, so maybe we're not going to do it, probably best to leave it alone. But that there were several, like one commented said, you know, brought up girls in cowboy hats. Sometimes it doesn't look as professional, but if it does, it's a great look. And so it was very interesting to read the comments about it, but I thought those results were interesting. Dale clearly doesn't care.
We don't see him up here that often. I have no issue. Well, outside of the cattle ring, I'm sorry, which we don't see it anywhere very often outside of the cattle. I don't have a preference. I don't mind it, but you don't have to have one. Not an issue for me. I think it looks a little awkward outside of the cattle ring. Would I hold it against the kid? No, but it doesn't seem to be as fitting. What else is not as fitting? Well, we're on the topic, and this will probably not bode well for some. Those that never, ever wear a cowboy hat except when they're in the ring judging, a lot of our Yankees, when they go down south, put a cowboy hat on to try to fit in. That, I don't get it. Do you see this happen?
I could give you countless examples of people that never wear a cowboy hat.
And then when they're not truly wearing a cowboy hat.
And this goes back to if you don't look good in one, don't wear one. But yeah, there you go.
And you probably don't look good in one if you don't wear it very often.
Right.
Just my guess.
Yeah. Okay. Number 15. This has been talked about a lot on here, but again, I wanted to get opinions from multiple people. Do you like for an exhibitor to shake your hand during the classes or while you're giving reasons, yes or no? 32 of the 40 said no.
Okay, people, listen.
Exhibitor. 32 of the 40 said no. Parents. 5 said yes. 3 said no preference. In goats, all 10 said no. Cattle, 9 said no. 1 said no preference. Hogs, 7 said no. 3 said yes. Sheep, 6 said no. 2 said yes. And 2 had no preference. But 32 of the 40 do not want to shake your hand at any time during the class.
Okay.
Is that clear?
For the record, it is clear, but we want the exhibitors to show respect to the judge, and that's a way of doing it. However, and I think it was Dr. Greiner that I had a long discussion about, that he's a touch uncomfortable doing it, and all the judges can do it and make it work. But I think it inhibits things, and it's not a Cade will come on and tell you when they come to shake his hand and they let that hog's head drop, all of a sudden he's talking about his class winner, and the hog looks like a different animal now because we're not driving and got that head cocky up in the air. Same thing with goats, and goats, half of the things don't walk anyway, and if you've got to pull that goat out of a lineup, pull it away from other goats to get to the judge, more times than not we're dragging, choking that goat out to get there to shake the judge's hand. That's not a good look, especially when the judge is talking about that animal at that time. I am a huge proponent. Sheep, goats, and cattle, when they're on a halter, or we have them stuck or we're holding on to them, not running around chasing a pig. If you're going to talk the top 5 or whatever it is, exhibitors, I think it's huge. Stay in the ring. Even when I'm talking, the first one stayed there when I moved to the second so we can compare back and forth and the people in the audience can see the differences. Once I conclude all the 5, then guess what? More times than not, I would probably come to you and we can shake your hand once reasons are done, and you don't have to come all the way out of your way to do it. The judge can move to you. There's a lot of alternatives, I guess, what I'm getting at.
Yes, but anyway, so there's that. Number 16, the judge is flying into a show. Do you prefer to them to reimburse you for a rental car or be shuttled by show management? 30 prefer a rental car. 10 want to be shuttled. And goats, 9 rental car, 1 shuttle. Cattle, 6 rental car, 4 shuttle. Hogs, 7 rental car, 3 shuttle. 8 sheep, 8 rental car, 2 shuttle. I'm surprised that there were 10 people that want to be shuttled. I'm just going to be honest. I would literally lose my mind if I didn't have my own wheels. and there have been times where, you know, either something happened with the rental car, whatever. If it wasn't for Uber, I would still Uber at my own cost instead of having someone relying on someone to pick me up and take me and all. I could not do it. But 30 to 10 on rental cars.
If I'm in and out, say I come in the night before, judge that next morning and day, and then out that evening, when I'm not going anywhere else, I'm fine with it. But if I have any downtime at all, I feel far more comfortable getting a rental.
There you go. Number 17. Have you ever had a show official ask you to handle an issue that is their responsibility to enforce the rules?
This is your favorite.
And we've talked about, and the question was put to him, yes or no. We've talked about this on here. 37 said yes, they have had a show official ask them as a judge to handle something about enforcing the rules. 3 said no. Goats, all 10 were yes. Cattle, all 10 were yes. Hogs, 8 were yes. 2 were no. Sheep, 9 were yes. 1 was no. And, you know, there was some comments from judges. Yeah, they've asked me to classify before when one came in that they didn't think was whatever. There were several things. I go back to the fact that when I'm glad that I'm not the only one that has been put in this position, because I get put in this position more than I ever thought I would. And so I'm glad that I'm not only the only one that's out there. And I always look at them and said, that is not my job. That's above my pay grade. These are your rules. You need to enforce them. And there was some comments on that these judges felt the same way. But when you've got 37 of 40 people that have been put in a position to enforce a show rule, that's not a good thing.
No, not good at all. And I think it's just, I don't know that they understand. They just don't know. It's good that you're discussing it. I don't have an explanation for it, but more times than not, I've been put in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. 18. This was a hot topic comment, or a hot topic amongst the people that, got asked, what is the appropriate time frame to cancel on a show other than an expected emergency, medical emergency, or a personal or family crisis? So
basically unavoidable.
Right. The average, not only by all 40, but the average within each species, they all said the same, 1 month. Now,
which is interesting, that they all landed about the same.
Right. Now, I got a wide range of responses from never, ever, 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 will not do it, refuse to 1 week. But within all of the species, every single one, the average was 1 month. They all said, you know, nobody likes to cancel on a show, but life does happen. And I've canceled very, 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 very few times for the number of times that I have judged shows all over the country. And I think when everybody takes a job, they fully intend to do it. But like most of them said, some things just life happens. I think that was the best answer. But 1 month was the average within all 4 of the species. Now, I know that there will be some people that took the survey that will probably reach out to both me and Dale that will say that that is absolutely preposterous, because they were very adamant on that you never, ever cancel. And so, but I just read the results. Don't shoot the messenger.
And I want to just briefly, and I understand show officials have advertised this person coming to judge, all those things. There is going to be a percent of the time where that judge has an emergency or an issue that cannot be avoided. There's going to be more times that they're canceling for another reason that maybe could have been avoided, but it's not convenient for them. So I understand both sides of this issue, clearly.
Yep. Number 19. Do you, as a judge, this, okay, I'm going to be honest. This was probably the only other question within the 25 that I put in there for my own personal nosiness, but I did. Do you, as a judge, want to go to dinner with the show committee or show management? Yes or no? 28 said no. 9 said yes. 3 said no preference. Goats, 7 said no.
Wait, read that one more time.
28 said they do not want to go to dinner with show management or the show committee. 9 said they do. 3 said they had no preference. Goats, 7 said no, 1 said yes, 2 no preference. Cattle, 7 no, 3 yes. Hogs, 7 no, 3 yes. Sheep, 7 no, 2 yes, 1 no preference. I do want to add that while the overwhelming majority said they did not want to do this, that and the things that they said, they just want to decompress. They don't think it's a good look, whether it's before the show or after the show, because most of those people will be attached to someone showing at the show. All of those things were very, very valid. I did find that 2 of the judges commented and basically said the same thing, that they had had some absolutely wonderful, memorable experiences for the rest of their lives going to these dinners. And then that they have also actually prayed to not be taken to dinner at times.
From the same judge.
But 2 different judges said that. I mean, basically said the exact same quote. They've had experiences that they'll never forget. It was so great. And then there have been times that they have actually prayed to get out of it. So there you go.
That those are interesting results, and I've gone to dinner with many superintendents and
show managers. I do not. Don't ask me. I'm not.
I've done it. It's been fine.
I'm not doing it.
But you, Ryan and I have another issue. A reason that we can bring in that can throw us both under the bus at the same time. We are borderline socially awkward in those situations.
I'm just not doing it. I'm not. I'm not going to.
Have you ever?
People can get no. And I
never,
I'm not.
How is that possible?
Because I've just said no. Because I just and not.
Are they not offended sometimes?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I do it less than I do, but I have done so out of courtesy.
And again, like these comments about it's not a good look because there's somebody that's probably going to be attached to a kid. That first and foremost is probably been my biggest thing my whole life. Number 2, I am a very odd individual, and I know I am odd.
Very. I want an emphasis on the very part.
And I'm okay with it, but I know what works for me and what doesn't. And I don't like my family going to shows with me because I don't want to go eat with them. Okay? Like, I want to either go to the hotel bar and get something to eat or whatever. I want to be in my own little bubble and do what I need to do to focus for that show the next day. And then after the show's over, I don't want to see anybody. I don't care what size show. I want to be in my own bubble, decompress. So no, I've never done it. I'm not going to do it. Yes, it has offended a lot of people in my judging career. And that's just how it is.
And it's not going to change.
No, I don't. No, I mean,
that is interesting. And I think most superintendents and show officials do it out of politeness. And I think that's great. I don't think we're picking on those people at all. That the gesture is very appreciated, but I think we need to look at both sides of it.
Yeah. And I have no problem of them asking me. I don't want you to think that I get offended when people ask, because most shows ask. I just say, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. And a lot of times they're perfectly fine with that, but a lot of times it offends a lot of people. So I would think that you shouldn't be offended because there's more people that side with me on this than don't. So there you
agreed. Go. Agreed.
Probably of these 20, one questions, we are now on number 20. I think the answers or responses to this probably more interesting, fascinating than anything else of these 20 questions, because it does not fit what you see. I think everybody, for the most part, has either heard of or gone to a show where there's two rings, ring A, ring B, ring one, ring two, whatever you want to call it. So the question was, if you are judging a two-ring show, do you prefer to judge the shows A and B, ring one and two, concurrently at the same time, or judge all of ring one ring and then have the person that's doing the next ring come in and do all of that ring? 25 said they want all of ring A to go and then ring B. 11 said they like it concurrently, the rings going at the same time. 4 had no preference. I am going to state for the record that I would say 90% of the shows that have two rings, they go on at the same time. Would you not agree with that, Dale?
I would, and I think it's simply out of a time.
And 25 of the judges don't like it that way.
Agreed. In an ideal world, I would have it the other way, but understanding that we have X amount of time.
Okay, well, I'm going to come back to that. Hold on a second. Goats, 9 wanted all ring A, 1 concurrent. Cattle, 6 concurrent. 3 all ring A, 1 no preference. Hogs, 6 wanted all ring A, then ring B. 3 concurrent, 1 no preference. 7 all ring A, 1 concurrent, 2 no preference. To your comment on this time thing, I understand why the majority think that it is a time saver. But I am going to tell you, in my experiences, most times it is not. Because when you have two rings running at the same time, you have to wait on the other person for the microphone. And number two, you have to wait on kids and animals, because somebody's over in ring B when they're supposed to be in ring A, all this. So I don't think it's a time saver. In all honesty, I do not think it's a time saver.
I can see those examples slowing it down, but I don't know they can slow it down to that level. Maybe.
I
think if it's not well
because
organized,
I'm very, very fast.
If it's not maybe, organized, yes. But if it's well organized, it's got to be quicker.
I don't know. I don't know if it's much of a time saver, be honest. But so those are the first 20 questions that we asked to all 40 of the judges. And next week, we did 5 species-specific questions. So we'll do another 20 questions, but there'll be 5 goat, 5 cattle, 5 sheep, 5 hog. But those are the 20 that were asked to all species. Like I said, I think there's a lot of valuable information in that. And that's why I didn't just say, you know, overall, this is how it was, because I think it's even more important that we break it down into the different species on how they voted by that. But I think there's a lot of valuable information in there for you if you're an exhibitor, if you're show management, hell, even if you're a judge, I think you can learn some stuff from that.
Ryan, I'm disappointed you didn't do this. Think of this 5 years ago. Why hasn't this been done yet? We always talk about, well, what should we do? What should we wear? How should we show? All of these things. What does it cost to judge a show, or how much should I? These are real questions. And people, remember, these judges that are answering the survey are judging at the state and national level right now, today.
Right. All 40 of these judges. I want to reiterate this. All 40 of these judges have judged a national major show within the last 5 years. This is not somebody that did it 20 years ago or never done it before. And like I said, I'm not going to name the names, but and for the large part of them, they're doing one every year. I mean,
or more.
We went through and we picked the people that we recruited and tried and to get people that judge the most biggest shows possible to answer these questions.
And thankfully, most of them agreed to do it. There was a couple that agreed and didn't get it responded back. But for the most part,
and we had to get somebody else and all this other stuff. But overwhelmingly, they said yes. They got their answers in timely. Now, a lot of them, as I said, thought maybe when they got the survey, they were going to get more mind intense questions. I don't know. They didn't think some of the questions would be this general or basic, but I appreciate them answering them anyway.
Exactly. I am very pleased you came up with this. I did nothing other than say that sounds like a great idea and away right
at first. So, he didn't think it was a good idea at all.
Oh, I did. This was good. Sometimes you don't present it properly.
Right. It's always my fault.
You have heard me talk about the original Phantom Halter, Begone Adhesive Remover, and BW Final Drive that assist with County Fair premium auctions. These products and services are brought to you by the Hunker Show family. This family is deeply rooted in the show stock industry. They get it. They live it. We appreciate their support of this podcast and the junior livestock industry. Visit phantomhalter.com for more information and use the coupon code BTR for a 10% discount on purchases. Question and answer. First one comes from Amanda. I think this was we talked about some cameras. Oh, and protect your investment.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear hints and tips on how to put a camera up at a show and how to keep it from being moved or stolen. And second part of the question, what name brand of cameras do you recommend the best?
Yes, Mr. Ring Camera aficionado of the world.
Ring Camera, I am the least tech savvy person in the world. We use Ring cameras. They're simple. It works. So I'm sure there's a dozen others that would be just as effective. And as far as not getting stolen or moved, if you're willing to have three cameras and they're not expensive, you can set those up so each camera is watching the other cameras. So it's literally impossible for somebody to approach one and steal it without being on the other camera, if that makes sense.
Nope.
It works. And I've never had an issue with anybody ever stealing the cameras, nothing like that. Other people that are stalled next to us actually appreciative that we have the cameras on there, because if I see an animal in a pen next to us that's stuck in a gate, even if I don't know the people, I'm probably going to get up and go take care of the problem. So I think I don't see any negative to come from it. So yes, I encourage people to continue to do that, and it just makes sense. And Ryan, when you give him access to it, he will get no sleep. So it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from Miss Williams. I couldn't pronounce the first name, so I just went to Mrs. Williams. This refers to the cost of judge episode. What about the cost of childcare if it's a female judge with kids? That's a different perspective, Ryan.
Yeah. I'm not saying that that's not a valid comment. I also don't. That can be another expense that female judges have to take on themselves, because I don't think any female judge is probably going to say, hey, you know, I got to hire a babysitter for 3 days or whatever like that. So, yes, but I think
it could be real.
That's what I said. I think it's real. Valid. I'm not saying it's not real, valid, but that is a different perspective. But once again, there's a lot of things that judges eat in terms of expenses that are never brought up to a show, because I'm going to tell you, most judges out there, it's a plane ticket, a hotel room, and a rental car fee is all they're going to bring up to a show as far as expenses. And we went through in depth on all these other expenses that never get brought up. And this is just another very valid point of that.
And I eat airport parking at $40 a day at O'Hare every time. I eat the meal expenses. There's a lot of, I would recommend, maybe you just put that into your daily fee rather than trying to break it out. But I'm certainly not opposed to it. I think most shows would understand it. And if they can't afford you because of something like that, it is what it is. The final question comes from Tim. Oh, I've had a lot of these, so I had to put one of them in. I have been following the issue with the American Angus Association accepting dollars from the Bezos Earth Fund, and I have never seen such outrage from members and cattle producers. How do you think this plays out? We've kind of already talked about it, but it is in the question and answer as well. That is you, Ryan. I've spoke maybe more than I should on the topic already.
I don't know what else to say. as I said, I have a man on the American Angus board that I respect greatly that I have known my whole life. I have not talked to him about this, but overall, I do not think that they understood the impact that this would have, or the or how this would be brought up or talked about as much as it has. And I do say that I will say from my own personal standpoint, not knowing anything about being on the American Angus Association, I'm not even a member of the American Angus Association, but I think this has an impact on far more than the American Angus Association. And I do think it is a negative impact on it and the cattle industry in general, because once again, I understand them wanting to have a seat at the table and be part of the conversation. Some conversations are just not worth being a part of.
Agreed. And only time is going to tell what the best decision is. Obviously, it's very emotional for a lot of people. Ryan and I can analyze it somewhat on the surface and give you at least the knee-jerk response that most are going to get and what they are having. But only time is going to tell how this plays out. And I don't know that right now any of us have the right answer. Ryan, this was a long, long episode, but I think the best one yet. I think the most informative and useful if listeners, show officials, judge, all it works for everybody. And I appreciate you coming up with this one. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now, you hear?